together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Dickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Dickney.
Oh, we're trying to answer the question that so many people, even in our culture, have been asking. What's love got to do with it? And what is love? Even Queen sang this crazy little thing called love. Our world has been singing about it, talking about it, chasing after it, longing for it, as long as there have been people able to beat a drum, able to strum something. Because we sing about what we care about. We sing about what moves us most. Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Dickney, and we're talking about what it would take to move our marriages out of barely alive or just trying to survive to begin to thrive. We'll never be perfect, no way, but to begin to taste even a measure of what God intended. What did God intend for this thing called marriage to feel like, to look like, to be as you live at close range with another human being? And love is at the very center of it. That's why as I ended the show, the last show, I quoted you from Jesus, what he said to his disciples. Of everything he could have left them thinking about, he didn't talk about end times. He didn't go into anything complex or deep, but he did touch right on, put his finger right on what matters most when he looked at his disciples in that upper room and said, "By this will all men know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." This thing called love is so good when you see it in a marriage. And yet, would you admit, it's sadly lacking. When I see a couple that I actually think love each other, it stands out. It stands out. And I don't mean a young couple who can't keep their hands off each other. That is not necessarily biblical love at all. Because today, I want to try to help you understand a distinction between infatuation and real biblical, mature, Christ-like, God-given love. These are two very, very different things. So let me ask you as we get going in the show, do you love other people? And do you love people closest to you? Sometimes those are the ones that are hardest to love because we see the flaws and we've experienced disappointments and hurt. And so when you probe around with questions about, do you really love? You're really getting to the heart of your relationship with Jesus Christ and the heart of Christianity and the gospel. And so after Paul tells us what it's not, in those first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13, he tells us it's not having incredible gifts. It's not doing amazing things. It's not huge sacrificial, spectacular things you might do. It's little and it's real and it's in the trenches of everyday life where love shows up. Basically, in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, he tells us what it's not. It's not. And verses 4 and following, he begins to say, but this is what it is. Listen to it again because it is so good. It doesn't matter what Brad Dickney brings you. If you could get a hold of God's word and not just hear it, but embrace it and actually take it and use it to renew your mind. I talked about in the last show, one of our biggest problems is unlearning things that we have wrongly learned from our world. So often when we come to God's word, we actually don't see what is there. We see only what we expect to see that already matches what we think. You realize you can do that as you read the Bible? So the challenge is not just, well, read your Bible, find out what God says. Yeah, you do need to do that. But oh, you need to pray and say, God, show me. Let me give you a good prayer that you can pray when you read your Bible. And I hope you will read your Bible. I hope you're hearing in every show, I try to give you some scripture and I try to push you to read God's word because it'll change your life. But here's a prayer you can pray before you read it. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold, that I may see wonderful things from your law. In other words, God, I want to see what's actually there because so often I'm wearing a set of glasses that filters out anything that doesn't match what I already think, what I expect to see. You want to pray and say, God, help me to see what your word actually says. Help me to shed notions that I've already picked up. Help me to shatter categories that I've already set up in my mind of what is and is not true, what I think about something. That's one of the biggest challenges. So listen to it again, beginning in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Whew. Craig Dubinsky, in his book, The Excellent Marriage, makes this very helpful distinction between love and infatuation when he says this. Infatuation is instant desire. It is one set of glands calling to another. Love is friendship that has caught fire. I like that. Friendship that has caught fire. If you're listening and you're not married, let me give you one of the best pieces of advice I think I could give you. The best person you could marry is someone that you have already cultivated a friendship with. Too often we put these in two different categories. Oh, she's a friend. Well, he's a friend. I have him in friend category. Now, don't hear me saying if you have no desire, no level of desire at all for anything beyond that, marry them, because that wouldn't be fair to them. But I want you to know, friendship is one of the best on-ramps, one of the best foundations, one of the best first steps towards a great, great marriage. That's really what was going on with Vicky and as I in my relationship with her. We became friends. We worked together on some committees. I just got a ride with her to church. I was around her without trying to have my, oh, I'm dating you mode on and in my mind. So I was totally myself. She was totally herself, and a friendship was built. And then there was a day that it just clicked in my mind, and I thought, what am I doing? I'm dating all kinds of other people on campus. Vicky Dill would be a fantastic wife, and we already had a friendship. So marriage, ooh, listen to me, I like it when he says, real love is friendship that has caught fire. That's what happened to me. There was a friendship that caught fire. He says it takes root and grows one day at a time. Infatuation is marked by a feeling of insecurity. It really is. Think how often you're just so afraid you're going to lose them. You are excited and eager, but not genuinely happy. There are nagging doubts, unanswered questions, little bits and pieces about your beloved that you would as soon not examine too closely. It might spoil the dream. Love is the quiet understanding and the mature acceptance of imperfection. Oh, that's good. Real love that's built on friendship is willing to see reality, is willing to see imperfection. Infatuation's not. Real love is. It is real, he says. It gives you strength and grows beyond you to bolster your beloved. You're warmed by their presence, even when they're away. Miles do not separate you. You want them nearer, but near or far, you know he or she is yours, and you can wait. Infatuation says, we must get married right away. I can't risk losing him or her. Love says, be patient. Don't panic. Plan your future with confidence. Notice 1 Corinthians 13:4. He leads in. When he gets down in the trenches of what real love is and he's finished with saying what it's not, patience heads up the list. Love is patient. It's patient. Dubinsky goes on to say, love is the maturation of friendship. You must be friends before you can be lovers. Infatuation lacks this. Infatuation may lead you to do things that you will regret later, but love never does. And then he finishes with this, and I really like this. Infatuation is a cheap copy of the real thing, like a bootleg copy of an original video. Infatuation is a poor imitation of love. Oh, yes, it is. We do not want infatuation. We do not want just wild feelings. We want the maturity of friendship that has caught fire. We're talking about the difference between infatuation and real biblical love. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll dig into it some more.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad in just a second. Man, that picture of love that he's kind of unpacking right here today, not infatuation, not just a feeling, but real biblical love, the kind of love that starts with friendship and catches fire, that's the kind of clarity that will stop you in your tracks. Because here's the truth. Infatuation is something that's loud and it's dramatic and it rushes everything. We've all seen those couples that rush everything. But love, genuine love, real love, the kind we see in 1 Corinthians 13, it grows quietly. It's patient. It's not urgent. And when Brad made that comment, that quote, love is friendship that's caught fire, never thought of it like that. But that's so true. That's the kind of love that doesn't fade when the new wears off. And if conversations like this one help you and your marriage grow, if this show is nudging you towards something deeper, something more honest, I've got to ask you, will you stand with us? Will you join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We have been at this ministry thing for 25 years this year. Our goal has never changed, never wavered, bringing biblical clarity to homes, to churches, to marriages. And we feel like that we've been able to do that. We've only been able to do it with the support of gospel partners just like you. And we want to continue doing it for another 25 years and another 25 after that, which is why I'm saying, hey, will you join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We need your support and partners just like you that believe in what we're doing here. And know this, 83% of every dollar you're able to give goes directly into the work of this ministry. And also something else that I say pretty regularly, your giving starts with your local church. We'd never want you to give to us instead of your local church. That is not okay. And if we find out that you have, we'll send the money back to you. Or maybe find out where you go to church and send it to your church for you. But listen, seriously though, don't ever neglect your local church. That's where everything starts. You have got to be giving to your local church and building that up. And if you are giving to your local church and you have the ability to give beyond that, that's where we want you to pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about what it would look like at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Pastor Brad now as he continues to chat on what real love actually looks like when it shows up in the trenches. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And in our show today, we're trying to make a distinction. We're taking this thing called love and we're putting it up on the table and we're cutting into it to say, what is the difference? Let's get down into the heart of it. What is the difference between real biblical love and infatuation? What is the difference between what God is talking about in His Word and what the world is screaming about, singing about, and picturing for us in movie after movie after movie that seems to only lead us to disappointment, to disappointment, to disappointment. Something's missing. And it's that they do not understand. By nature, human beings in general do not understand real love. We had to get it from God, and we have to learn it from God. And we can only do it in real time with another human being as we stay in relationship with Jesus Christ, who did it for us. And not just who did it for us, but who does it for us every day. As I am in relationship with Jesus Christ, experiencing his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his mercy, then and only then do I actually have what it takes to love another sinful, less than perfect human being at close range. You see, this thing called love is at the very center of what it means to be a Christian. Hope you realize to become a Christian is to be born again into a new realm. Christianity is not you agreeing to a list of doctrinal issues or a creed that you grasp and say, yep, I believe that. I hope you do have truth, but it's more than just a list of doctrines. That's why the Bible talks about new birth, new birth. John and Peter both call it new birth when they write about it in the New Testament. Because becoming a Christian is far more than just adhering to a new code of ethics that you're going to work really hard to try and keep. You realize all kinds of religious people are on board with that. That's religion. But it's a far cry from a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the very essence of love. Christianity is distinct from every other world religion because every other world religion gives you a list and says, here's what you need to do to get your way in, to please God, to achieve his favor. Where Christianity is the only one that says, oh, listen. That's why in Christianity we talk about good news. Christianity is good news. It's a declaration of what God has already done for us in his Son. And then he invites you to say, yes, Lord Jesus, and to receive him into your life and to be born again. It doesn't mean all our sin nature just sheds itself automatically. Then you begin the process more and more of walking with him, listening to him, crying out to him, asking him to change you from the inside out to be more like him. Verses 4 to 7 in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul begins to unpack what love is. Love is patient and kind, doesn't envy or boast, isn't arrogant or rude, does not insist on its way, is not irritable, and keeps no record of wrong. So often we're looking at our spouse saying, I love you. Of course I love you. And then we're rude. We're impatient. We're literally unkind. And we're arrogant as we constantly think, I'm better. My way's better. What I'm thinking's better. My preference is better. And then, oh, we're irritable. If they mess with our schedule, if they expect anything of us or too much of us. And then that last one is huge. Whether we ever write it down, we're keeping a record of wrong. When they disappoint us, when they fall short, when they hurt us, we're marking it down. And all of that is the very antithesis of biblical love. Paul's like, that's not love. That's not love. You're not loving. And so be careful if you think he's just giving us a checklist or a set of behaviors that you're missing, because that's not what he's doing. If verses 4 to 7 are nothing more than a behavior checklist, then if we were to be honest, we are all utter failures. But notice how in verses 4 to 7, he says, love is, it is these things. He personifies love. And that's because you have to meet love before you can ever do it. Before love can ever become a behavior in you, it has to first be an experience for you. So let me ask you, have you encountered love through Jesus Christ as your Savior? Before you ever try to behave differently or live differently or choose differently, have you experienced real love? Have you had the experience of entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's far more than just a checklist, especially if you're struggling to love your spouse at close range. It's worth considering. Don't hear me saying if you're struggling to love your spouse, then you're not a Christian. It could be that you're not a Christian, but it could be also that you are not tasting and experiencing and soaking in the love of your Savior enough, which is why you don't have it to give to your spouse. In wrestling with 1 Corinthians 13 that we've been touching on in these past shows, Tim Keller gives this definition of a Christian. He says a Christian is somebody who has met love. Love has shattered them, then captured them, and now empowers them. I love it. That's so good. You have to meet love in the person of Jesus Christ. And it needs to be more than just, well, all right, great, that's neat. Have you been shattered by love? Have you been overwhelmed by what the Bible tells us about his love for us? Like, wow, why would he do that? Why would he loves me like that? Shattered. And then he doesn't want to leave us shattered, then captured by it. And then that begins to empower you to love others. Guess where you meet real love? In the person of Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus Christ is where we meet real love and is how we keep real love alive. And so I hope you're getting a hold of this because I try to touch on it regularly. Your vertical relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And think about how many times the Bible says, God is love. God is love. I've got to be in relationship with that God of love through his son, Jesus Christ, if I'm ever going to be able to extend real love consistently over and over, over and over, over and over with a real sinner that I'm living with at close range. You got to be in relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. In fact, even good things in this world like friendship, family, marriage, work, and entertainment will all ultimately fail us if at any point we start to put our hope in that and use that to bolster us and prop us up. So many times we're looking to other things to assure us that we're loved and to stay propped up, but they'll fail us. And that's because you were made, I was made, every human being listening was made for another world. You were made to be in relationship with someone outside of this world who's the most loving being in the universe, and nothing short of all that satisfying relationship with him is going to fill you up. Everything else in this world, at its very best even, is still broken and has a measure of futility inherent within it. And it starts to bleed through whenever you start leaning on it too much. I don't look to Vicky to get the love I need to give back to Vicky. I look to God through his son, Jesus Christ, whom I'm in relationship with, spending time with every morning. Nothing in this world can bear the weight of what it is that we need to love other people. You got to look outside of this world for that. And when you do, God is ready to give you an experience of love that is like nothing else you'll find in this world. You're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about the difference between infatuation and real love that would take our marriages from barely alive to beginning to thrive. It's all about biblical, real love that's found in Jesus Christ.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.